All right, here we are on this wonderful Veterans Day. And Dave, go ahead and stand up. Don't be shy. Dave's going to open us up in prayer, and then we have a wonderful service that Susan has organized for us. So praise God.
Well, it has fallen my lot to be blessed to do this. And I appreciate all of you people here. And I love you, everyone. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself here in this meeting this morning, and that we'll all get something from this gentleman's message. With that said, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here this morning, and thank you for giving us the health to come in and sit and be in your presence. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd manifest yourself here with us and just bless our hearts and keep us safe. And I pray that we would, oh, Lord, help us with this guy. Let him give us a message that will just bless our hearts. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
So I think at this time I'm going to invite Scarlett Ferguson up. So Scarlett would like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance today. So
can everybody please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now Ron Dawkins has an address to the veterans today.
Good morning, everybody. Got a few notes here that I wrote down and just wanted to share. I'm actually an Army veteran. I served from 1973 to 1977. And let me share my thoughts with you. And the question is, what is a military veteran? A military veteran is an active duty or former member of the armed services of the military. Branches of the military include Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. A military veteran has one thing in common. They must swear in by repeating the military oath of enlistment. The oath of enlistment is something that every service member must promise and adhere to for their entire military career. And hopefully after that even. Military veterans' values: Army is loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Coast Guard honor is respect and devotion to duty. Good morning. Marine Corps is honor, courage, and commitment. Navy is honor, courage, and commitment. Air Force, we share an unbreakable trust and the will to never give up. Valor is great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. Valor is stability, not of legs and arms, but of courage and soul. Here's a quote: regard your soldiers as your own children, and they will follow you into the deepest valleys. Look on them as your own beloved sons and daughters, and they will stand by you even unto death. You see, the soldier's heart, the soldier's spirit, the soldier's soul are everything. Soldiers, when committed to a task, can't compromise. It's unrelenting devotion to the standards of duty and courage, absolute loyalty to others, not letting the task go until it's done, been done. The Bible verse is, first of all, there's another quote: any nation that does not honor its heroes will not long endure. Bible verse, John 15:13. Says, greater love is no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You see, just as Christ laid down his life for us, veterans are prepared to lay down their lives for fellow countrymen and women. Psalms 31:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. You see, a nation's strength is not just in its military might, but in its moral and spiritual foundation. Isn't that so true? So anyway, I'd like to ask the veterans that are here today to come up forward. I think it's important that this generation actually sees who the men and women are that served, that actually put their life on hold so the rest of you could live in freedom. So if you'd like to come up right now, I'd appreciate it. So I'm going to pass the mic down and let each person share what branch of the service they were in, what years they served, and maybe even want to share a little bit more. Anyway, I was in Army from 1973 to 1977, a long time ago. And I actually served overseas in Germany and also 14 months in South Korea.
Good morning. U.S. Army, 1966 to 1969. And I served in Germany and Texas.
Air Force from 68 to 72. I was in Utapal, Thailand. I worked on the SR-71 for 2.5 years.
David Buzik, I was in the Air Force. I served from 65 to 69. I was in Istanbul and Tehran and other weird places.
I enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1969 till 72 and served 16 months in South Korea.
Brian Butler, Air Force 2002, Air National Guard presently, and been at Beale Air Force Base, Nevada Air National Guard, and Oregon Air National Guard.
Navy, 56 through 59, North and South Pacific, all of it.
Navy, 1986 to 1994, Naval Special Warfare Unit 1, Special Boat Unit 11, which is a SEAL team from Vallejo or Mare Island. 61 countries, spent most of my time in the Middle East.
Air Force, 11 months. Stationed at Luke, Arizona.
Yeah, we also have two other service members that aren't here today, Ian Flores and
if
Calvin Hartz.
All the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
We have a piano this morning.
Somebody once said you sing better when you stand.
I've never felt so much alive. Now nothing in this life can hold me down. In my weakness, you are strong. In you, I found freedom, 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 freedom. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Freedom, 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 freedom. Oh, we declare it. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free.
Okay, drums are way too loud. Soften up the drums, please.
No one else can. fails me all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. Your voice, you have led me through the fireless nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I will lift in the goodness.
What a wonderful time of worship. Just the presence. Your singing is phenomenal. Your glorifying God is phenomenal. And he looks into every one of our eyes. And he sees us as beautiful. Sometimes it's hard for us to accept that in our lives. But God sees us that way because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are covered. We are covered. And God does not let his own go. He loves us so much. Very powerful.
Okay, so at this time, Pastor Palmer Crandall, welcome to our church.
Good morning, church. God is good, amen? Yes, he is. Something I love about the body of Christ is that you can go anywhere and we're brothers and sisters, right? And we're going to spend eternity with each other. And the joy is beginning now, right? Amen. Well, I just want to open in prayer, and then we'll just dive right in here this morning. Father God, thank you so much for this day to get to honor veterans who've given their lives. Some gave it all. Some gave as much as they could. Lord God, we thank you for them, every one of them, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to bless them and their families and their friends, and may they just know that they are honored today. And we honor you also, Father, this morning for giving us your Son, Jesus, who laid down his life for us and for the sin of the world, that we may be reconciled to the Father, back to our created purpose, fellowship with the one true God. So we honor you this morning. We welcome your presence. This is all about you. We're here because of you. It's simply you. And we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, I'm down here because of my in-law's 50th wedding anniversary, and so that was awesome yesterday. It was a long day, but it was a wonderful day. Lots of people I didn't know, kind of like this morning, but hey, we're family, and God is good. And I wanted to share a message that I shared last week at my own church, and it's been preaching through the Gospel of Mark, the life of Jesus according to the Gospel of Mark. And it's just simply Jesus. Simply Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing, right? Jesus plus nothing. There's no hoops to jump through. There's no ladders to climb. It's just Jesus. And it's his friendship, his lordship, his leadership over our lives. And the more we surrender to that, acknowledgement of that, the freer we become. And, I mean, we can't get any more free than we already are. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So you're either walking in that knowledge or you're not, but you're free. You're free. So step into that reality. So simply Jesus, and worthy of my worship. He's worthy of my worship. When I think about my life and that last song, The Goodness of God, always gets me because all my life. And there's some here who have short lives. You're still young, middle-aged, older. All our lives, he's been faithful. Look back. And you see our messes and our mistakes, and he's there. He's faithful, he's good, he's kind, he rescues, he restores, he heals, he delivers, he forgives. He's full of grace, nothing but grace. This is worthy of my worship. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, we got to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, because that's our reasonable. It's the least we can do, to offer all of ourselves to worship God. All my thoughts, my actions, my deeds, my responses, any way you can think about how you live is an act of worship to God. If you're born again this morning, you belong to Jesus, you're a living worship. You don't come to worship, you are worship. You worship him. And so my text this morning is from Mark chapter 14, verse 1 through 11. It's a story that many, if you've grown up in church, you've heard it a lot. You're growing up and pastors have preached it over and over and over again because Jesus said that we would. We would tell the story of the woman in the alabaster box of worship. In a memorial to her, we would do that. The whole world, forever, until we see Jesus face to face. Before I read my text, I just want to say that I have a big idea, and that's the life of Jesus changes everything. The life of Jesus, who he is. And it's not adding Jesus to your life, but making Jesus your life. He is your life. He is your all in all, your everything. And so he changes everything. That when I allow him to operate in my life, I find that a transformation takes place all over the place. And it's for my good. My flesh doesn't like it sometimes because it messes with my feelings. And I don't want to let go of my feelings. I like to feel good. But God doesn't want us to feel good. He wants us to be fully alive, full of joy, full of peace, full of hope, full of goodness, full of him. So the life of Jesus changes everything. Here's my sticky statement I want you to stick with you today is that worship is the least I can do because who he is. Worship is the least I can do. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not. Worship is more than singing. Worship is more than song. We worship in giving. We worship in serving. We worship in listening to someone who has something to talk about. We worship every day as believers. When we drive, when we work, whatever we're doing, we are. Paul says we're living epistles, living letters that people get to read, and we're worshiping God. So as we look at this story, Mark chapter 14, verse 1 through 11 says, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. All the other Gospels say he poured it on his feet. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do good to them. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She came beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. There's several things I want to look at this morning as we look at this instance in the life of Jesus. And he's with his disciples. He's with people that are just getting to know him. He's at the house of Simon the leper, someone who's probably he healed of leprosy. Who knows? And they encounter Jesus, because the life of Jesus changes everything. When you let him in your life, in every area, there's always hope with Jesus. There's always healing with Jesus. Jesus didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the other person. That's the other guy. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. But the first thing I want us to look at this morning is that the fear of man will always trip you up. You see, we were created for worship. But when I think about what other men think of me, it sometimes stifles me in my worship. Well, God, you said to give. You said to serve. You said to do that. And I want to do that. But what if so-and-so thinks differently about me? The fear of man's... It sets us up for a snare and a trap. It keeps us limited in what God has created us for. And we see Mary comes into the scenario with all these guys and doesn't say there's any other women in the house. And yet, she came to pour her oil on Jesus, to worship with abandonment. We see that the religious leaders, they wanted to end the life of Jesus. They wanted to stop people from following him. They wanted to stop him from speaking the truth about the kingdom of God and about their position going away. You see, in the previous chapter, he talked about how Jerusalem was going to be destroyed in Mark 13. And like, we don't want people to hear that. We don't want to hear that that's going to happen. We don't want our place removed. Our place matters more than what God has in store. And see, that's the wrong mindset. Because God only does what is good. Because he is good. And so we see that the religion always operates in the fear of man. It wants to please the people. They said, we want to trick the people into turning over Jesus, but not during the feast, because they may get rowdy and turn on us. We don't want that. But we don't want Jesus to be followed anymore. And so they got together and talked about how they can do it. And they didn't have any ideas. The fear of man will stop you from what God has created you for. The fear of man will always limit you from accomplishing what God has destined you for his church, for you individually. It's pursuing him that we find out what we are created for. And as we live our life with Jesus in the word and prayer and fellowship with fellow believers, we grow in that person that he wants us to be. And he's worthy of my worship because of that. Proverbs 29:25-26 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Did you hear that part? Whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. Don't regard the opinion of others over the opinion of God. He will always keep you safe. It says, many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. And so what the psalmist is writing, or the Proverbs writer is writing, is that our attention and our focus is to be on God, is to be on Jesus, not upon the opinion of others, not even upon my own opinion. Because we can talk ourselves out of a lot of things, can't we? More than we can talk ourselves into stuff sometimes. I don't know if you're that kind of person, but I usually have a conversation about the conversation I'm going to have on the phone, right? And usually I don't get to that conversation because I talk myself out of it. Well, it doesn't work that way. If we want to see God do what he wants to do, we have to surrender and submit to him and not allow the fear of man to stop me. And we see that the fear of man for the religious was to try to stop what God wanted. But for us as followers of Christ, the fear of man keeps us from what God has created us for. And created us fellowship, companionship, and from that there is worship. Worship is an overflow of that relationship we have with God. It doesn't get us into a place of endearment with him. It's because we are in a place of endearment with him. It's because we do belong. We're not trying to get to a place of belonging. It's because we are favored, not trying to get to a place of favor. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, when you give your life to me, then I'll love you. He said, no, I love you first. Here's the second observation I want us to see here is that our worship is always worth the cost. Your worship is always worth the cost. Yeah, it's going to cost you energy and time that you could use somewhere else, but you'll never, ever reap the benefit of what worship can give you unless you worship. You see, God is worthy of our worship, but worship benefits us the most. It brings us into that realm of understanding that, God, you are who you say you are. You are big enough. You are great enough. You are good enough. You are faithful. And my attention goes from my problem to the problem solver. And then I have hope restored and faith renewed to face whatever is in front of me and to prepare me for what may come around the corner. Don't we always say, okay, something's around the corner? Well, God is always good. He's always with us. Never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he's worthy of our worship. In Mark 14:3, he goes on, the writer of the Gospel of Mark goes on and says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came in having alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Could you imagine that scenario? Can you imagine that? All those people around the table eating and laughing and having a good time, just talking about the day, whatever they're doing, and the woman comes in and it automatically becomes hush. What is she doing here? What is this about? What's about to happen? All attention. And in that moment, most of us would turn around and walk out. We would leave. Okay, I can't do this. But because of her great love for Jesus, she didn't regard the opinion of others, the thoughts of others, what they might think of her. It didn't matter because of who Jesus was. Her whole focus was on Jesus in that room. In that room. In that moment. Who knows what led up to that? Maybe she was the one, the Mary, that Jesus cast out all the devils from. Jesus said, he who is forgiven much loves much. So how could she not? How could I not worship the one who set me free to the uttermost? Completely, absolutely, and constantly is willing to do the same. Regardless if I got myself in that pit or if someone bumped me into it. He's there. So worship is always worth the cost. It says that she brought a alabaster flask of very costly oil, spikenard. And then she broke the flask. It didn't say that she opened the top and she poured a little out and put some back on. I'll save some for later. She broke it and she poured it out. Brokenness before the Lord always results in wholeness when I get up and leave. See, Mary carried that box, and an alabaster box is a beautifully carved work of art. It's a masterpiece. In itself, the box is priceless, let alone the contents of that box. We stopped at, I think it was Trees of Mystery, and we went into the museum area, and there was this Indian carving, and it was a solid red alabaster. And it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. The detail was amazing. And in itself, it was priceless, yet alone, what could be it could contain? Historians say that an alabaster box can contain the fragrance of spikenard for a century if it never opened. Wow. That's how awesome that box is. And you are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. God's masterpiece. His handiwork. You were recreated in Christ Jesus for good works, And if we find ourselves broken before the Lord, that's the best place to be. Because then what's inside of us can finally come out. The worship that He deserves and the worship that I was created to give. That I find my significance in, my value in, my wholeness in because of who Christ is. She gave it all that day. She held nothing back. As I said before, she didn't just take the lid off, she broke the box. And then in that moment, maybe she had a passing thought, what are they going to think of me as I worship God? When we come in on Sunday mornings, we worship God, we lift our hands, we clap, some may want to move their feet and dance, some may want to shout, what are they going to think of me? Well, I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for Jesus. Doing it for the Lord, because of who He is, because of what He's done for me. All my life He's been faithful. And He's worthy of my worship. It's worth the cost. But we can always expect criticism, but we should ignore it. Because criticism will come, but it doesn't matter, because only the words of Jesus matter. In Mark 14, it says that there was someone indignant among themselves and said, why was this oil wasted? Some will think, well, why are they doing that way? That's not how I worship. That's not what I think worship should look like. Well, it doesn't matter. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and he was criticized for it. But he wasn't cursed for it. He was blessed for it. And we are blessed when we worship God with all that's within us. And we don't save it for Sundays. We do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then on Sunday we come in going, I can't contain it anymore. I'm about to burst. And worship of God who's done nothing but good for me all week long. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen during the week. They do, but God is still good. He's still faithful. He's still kind. He's still present. He's still able to turn tragedy into triumph. So no matter what the criticism are, ignore them. And sometimes we have self-criticism. Don't even entertain those thoughts. Because He'll accept your worship. And that's my next point. Jesus defends you always, and He accepts your worship. He defends you. He defended Mary. He said, let her alone, He said in Mark 14, 6 and 7. Why do you trouble her? Back off. You don't even know what she's doing, why she's doing what she's doing. I'm about to tell you so that you know. And guess what? You get to talk about it the rest of your lives. So be careful what you criticize. Because then you begin to become a promoter of that. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do good to them. But me, you do not have always. See, physically, He wasn't always going to be present, but the poor and the needy, they're always there. And we can always do good to them. And that in itself is an act of worship. But what He was saying, specifically, she came to worship me. She came to prepare me for the burial that I'm about to go through. I'm about to die for the sin of the world. You don't understand yet, but you will. And we have the benefit of looking backwards on Scripture and understanding all these things. But they were in the moment of it going, what's going on here? And it's easier for us to criticize them for criticizing, but we don't know how we would do it if we were there. We don't know how we would respond. So we've got to look at the words of Jesus. He stands in defense of you when you worship God. Even if others criticize you and ridicule you for your worship. And they're always shouting. They're always saying amen. They're always lifting their hands. They're always bumping into me when they're dancing in the words. Again, I'm not here for you. I'm here for Jesus. And when we have that, every one of us have that mentality, I'm here for Jesus, then we are here for each other. Because we are His body. We are His hands and His feet. And I want you to know, again, Jesus even said that worship is work. He says, what she has done is a good work for me. It's work. It's going to cost you something. But it's always worth the cost. Always worth the work. Always worth the effort. We understand that a job that's well done is a well done job, right? And you're like, I feel good about that. Worship. When you really just worship God and you go after God, you know you have problems hanging in here. Hurts and disappointments, frustrations, misunderstandings, non-understandings, but say, I'm just going to worship God. It's like Paul and Silas did when they were thrown in the pit. They could have complained. They could have blamed each other. They could have, I don't know, thrown mud at each other. They were in a muddy pit. But they chose to worship God. And it changed the atmosphere, literally, of where they were. And it changed the atmosphere for everyone else that was in that surrounding area. Worship literally sets us free. Sets us free. And it sets those around us free. When I worship with abandonment of the one who gave his all for me. You've done a good work for me. You see, spikenard was an ancient oil. Some say an essential oil. And perfume, which was used for acts of honor. Its fragrance clung to the body, causing its scent to just hang throughout the air. So when you had that poured on you, everybody knew you were coming before you got in the room. It was also used for medicinal purposes. When we think where Jesus was going to go, he's about to go to the cross. Before the cross, he's about to be beaten beyond human recognition and have his beard pulled out and a crown of thorns shoved on his head, taking up our punishment for sin. And it amazes me that God would love his son so much that he would say, hey, I'm going to use Mary, who's going to give everything, this costly vase, this alabaster box full of fragrant oil of spikenard, and it has medicinal purposes that she may not have even known at that time, but we know looking backwards, it said that spikenard has the ability to calm the mind, just the smell of it, to relieve anxiety. It's an anti-inflammatory and fights bacteria. It boosts the immune system, lessens sensitivity of nerves to pain. And God saw beforehand, you're going to give your life for the world. And it's going to be painful. Here, I'm taking care of you. For God so loved the world. He loved his son much. And Jesus revealed the love of the Father to us. And so the Father was preparing his son for that excruciating pain by having that oil poured upon his head, which we know didn't stay there, run down his body, his robe, his clothes, so that every blow of the whip, he would smell that fragrance. Those who came around him smelled that and said, that's for honor, and they would be confused. We don't want to honor this man, but we honor he deserves. It reduces fever and provides relief from cough and respiratory problems. As he hung on the cross, fighting for every breath, he would breathe it in. Pain would be reduced because of the medicinal power of that fragrant oil that God created way before the cross. You see, what Mary's worship did for Jesus, our worship does for us. Our worship of God. We honor him because he's worthy of worship. But as we worship, it calms the mind. It relieves anxiety. It lessens sensitivity to pain. Reminds us of the breath of the Spirit of God within me. That because God is faithful, I can move on. I can move forward. He's got me. That's what our worship does for us as we worship him. I believe that's awesome. God planned that in advance for his son to have that worship so that we would know the value of worship and the power of our worship. So don't wait for Sunday to worship. Don't wait for the right song to worship. Just think about how good he's been and worship him. And we're thankful for our veterans, and we ought to be. May we be as thankful even more so for Jesus. What he's done and what he is currently doing. Even what we cannot see, he is always working all things together for our good. Jesus accepts your worship always. Even when you don't feel like worshiping, you feel nothing but anger or frustration or anxiety or worry or fear. Worship. That's the best time to worship. That's when this can take effect upon you. Because his presence fills the air and the atmosphere as we worship. And I want us to close in worship this morning, if we could. If we could sing Goodness of God again as we close. And then think about how all your life He has been faithful. And it reminds you of the nearness of His presence. They say that hindsight is 20/20. We see things clearer when we look back. I want us to see the clear presence of the Lord as we look back. He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of your worship daily, all the time. You know, Scripture says that we are to be a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. It's because we worship. We're to worship instead of worry. We're to worship instead of arguing and fighting and defending ourselves. We're to worship the one who laid down His life for us. And then He rose from the dead the third day so that we would live life abundantly and eternally. He's worthy of our worship. The struggles that are real, we find hope. We find wisdom and direction and clarity of what we need to do as we worship God. We do. And for some of us, it may be instantaneously, I know what I'm supposed to do. And others, we worship and we worship and we worship and we worship. We don't stop worshiping. And Jesus finally, we finally hear what Jesus is saying. The worship transforms our mind, as the Word does. Renews our mind. Worship changes us to think, God, all things are possible. And I'm with You. And He says that all things are possible with those who believe. I believe. So would you stand this morning? We're going to sing that song again. Goodness of God.
I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days are held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake, till I lay my head, yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the
You saw my life, you have been so, so good. Oh, with every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness.
Goodness and mercy shall follow me, pursue me, chase after me all the days of my life, because you are the good shepherd. You are my shepherd, and your mercy and your goodness are chasing after us all the days of our lives. May we stop once in a while and let it overtake us. Remind us of how good you are. You never left us. You never forsook us. You're always present. You're always good. You always hear and receive our worship. Your worship is our good, as we honor you and elevate you above all else. Father, I ask your blessing upon this church, upon this congregation, upon these men and these women and these children. You bless them to be a blessing, that you would shine your light upon them and within them and through them to this community, and the power of the Holy Spirit would be evident in their lives daily, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficulty. You would be awesome and powerful and a mighty King who is good and kind and faithful. Jesus, you're worthy of my worship. We honor you this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for changing us. Now lead us by your Spirit into our world to bring the fragrance of Christ wherever we go.